Did you ever have to be reassured about something? Something that you weren't certain was a reality, was truth? And so someone or something had to come alongside and reassure you of that? When I was a little boy, you know, I think every kid goes through this spell where you imagine something in your closet. You know, you're laying there in bed, it's dark, and you picture something. Something in your closet that doesn't quite look right. Something ominous. Something scary. Well, when I was a little boy, you know, one of these nights I'm laying there in my bed and it's dark. And I thought for sure that I saw this two-headed wolf lurking in my closet. I'm serious. Two-headed wolf. Imagine such a thing. And why I had to be two-headed, I don't know. But, you know, one-headed wolf wasn't going to scare me. But two-headed wolf, that was terrifying. Anyways, so I picture this two-headed wolf in my closet. And now I'm convinced. I'm convinced that there's a two-headed wolf in my closet, and he's just waiting for me to go to sleep, and he's going to pounce on me. And as a little boy, I'm terrified of this, you know, can't sleep, paralyzed in fear. And so, you know, I yell for my mom, and my mom comes in, and I tell her what I think I see, and my mom does something for me. She assures me that there's no two-headed wolf lurking in my closet, waiting for me to fall asleep so he can devour me. Todd, there's no wolves in this area. There's no wolves in our house. There's definitely no mutant two-headed wolf in your closet trying to hurt you. It's okay. Go back to sleep. Get your rest. Everything will be fine. Okay, I felt calm. You know, things were good. No two-headed wolf. My mom wouldn't lie to me. So, you know, for the next few moments, I'm calm. She goes back, turns the light out, goes back to her bed. And that wasn't enough. I'm still laying there. And, you know, the closet looks different in the daytime or in the light versus the dark. In the dark, I'm seeing all these images, all this, you know, these shadows. And now I'm convinced again, there's a two-headed wolf in my closet. And so I call my mom in again. Mom, there's a two-headed wolf in my closet. I'm certain of it. And so my mom this time has to reassure me that there's no two-headed wolf. By this time, she has to turn the lights on. She has to turn the lights on. She has to inspect the closet. She has to move things out of the way. All the things that I think I imagine as being the two heads of this wolf, this clump of clothes or whatever it was, she had to move out of the way to reassure me this time that there was new two-headed wolf. And this might have happened another time or two more times that night. Who knows? But I had this idea in my mind that there was this two-headed wolf in my closet. As a young kid that wanted to hurt me, and I needed my mom's assurance, and then I needed my mom's reassurance. I needed for her to come in and search it out. And I think even that night, I remember flipping the light on a couple times myself, just to, again, reassure my heart and my mind that there was no two-headed wolf there and that I could go to sleep. You know, fast forward a few more years. This is embarrassing, of course, but you know, there's a few places in life that you're just completely vulnerable and there's not much you can do about that. So, you know, I'm living downstairs in my parents' house. I'm a 20-something guy, should have no problem with this at all. But, you know, I'm in one of those vulnerable positions. I'm in the shower and on the top of, you know, on the ceiling, not necessarily right above me, but close enough, I see this big spider. You know, just kind of moseying along on the ceiling there. And I'm taking a shower. And I keep gazing up at this thing, wondering, is he going to stay there? Do I need to act? Do I need to get out of the shower? And I don't have a fear of spiders. But one above me while I'm in the shower, yeah, that's a little frightening. Definitely don't want that thing dangling down on me or falling into my hair or whatever. So I'm keeping one eye on the spider the entire time, trying to reassure me that the spider is not going to fall down into the shower. And, you know, so showering and, you know, 5-10 minutes, I probably did a really fast shower that night. But every few seconds, I would look up at that spider just to make sure he's not getting too close. And if he did, I was going to do something. I was going to jump out of that shower. I was going to swipe it with a towel. I was going to do something to get rid of that spider. But I had to keep reassuring myself. I had to keep looking at that spider to make sure, to make certain that thing wasn't coming close to me. And so reassurance, I think we've all had times in our life like that. We've had to be reassured of something. And maybe it was silly, like the two illustrations I just gave you. Maybe it was something serious. Maybe there was an actual fear that you had to be reassured of that wasn't an actual danger to you. You know, when we first had our first child, I remember that being a very uncertain time in my life. You know, I never had a child before. I never had the thought of my own child, you know, growing inside of my wife. And you know, I just remember being a very uncertain time. And my wife would go to these occasional doctor's visits. And it was a great thing because our doctor had this ultrasound machine inside his room. And so every time we would go for an appointment, he would hook Janine up to the ultrasound and he would show us the baby. He would let us hear the heartbeat. He would let us see the image of this baby. And it just reassured my heart every time we went. It reassured me that the baby was healthy and growing the way that it should. And that was just good for my heart because I had a lot of anxiety about our first son. You know, was something going to go wrong? You know, just a million things that could go wrong with a baby. And every time we went to a doctor's visit, I remember leaving that, you know, with confidence because I was able to see the little ultrasound image and hear the heartbeat and have my doctor's reassurance that everything is growing as it should and the baby is normal. So again, I don't know if you have a time in your life that you can think of where you had to be reassured of something. But this comes up in Scripture. And I bet if I had to poll everyone who's listening to this podcast, that you've heard of the term assurance of salvation, right? I'm sure you've probably heard that term before. And really what it means is that, you know, again, it's a certainty, that your salvation is a certainty, that you've believed in Jesus, that the profession that you've made is a certainty. And so there's this term called assurance of salvation. Well, I don't know where that term comes from biblically, at least the assurance of salvation. It might be in the Bible somewhere, but there is the term reassurance that comes up in 1 John 3. If you have your Bibles, 1 John 3 verses 21 to 24 mentions this concept about reassurance. And I just want to look at it closely for a minute here. Because God talks about reassurance, and he wants us to have assurance or reassurance of our faith and of, you know, of our destination someday in eternity. God wants us to have that. That's a good thing for Christians to have, assurance and reassurance that we're Christ's, that we're on the right path, that we're going the right way. And I think every single Christian needs that. That's something that Christians struggle with if they don't have it. Anyways, I want to get to the text and let the text speak for us. And I want to break this down a little bit. So actually, I'm going to start in verse 19. I think I said 21. I'm going to start in verse 19 and just read through verse 24 of 1 John 3. And again, I apologize for my voice. I'm coming off a cold, so I sound a little bit harsh. But just follow along as I read verses 19 to 24 of 1 John 3. It says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." You know, John brings up this idea of assurance or reassurance here in 1 John 3, and it's really an interesting concept because there's a lot of times for doubt in the Christian life. Even people that have been born again, even people that have had their relationship with God reconciled and brought back together by the blood of Jesus Christ. There are times in the Christian life where you just doubt that. You just doubt that that's a certainty. If you go back to my illustration about the two-headed wolf in my closet, I had to be reassured that the thing wasn't there. And I've had certainly times in my life as a Christian where I've doubted my salvation. I've doubted the fact that I was really Christ's, that he was really mine, that he really loved me, that I was really headed to heaven. And I've wondered why that is. I wonder why that's such a big struggle for Christians. And I want to look at this a little bit because I think in this passage here, it kind of talks about why that is. In verse 19, he says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him." So this is something God wants us to have. He wants us to know and he wants us to be reassured that we are on the right path, that we belong to God and God is our Lord and Savior. It says in verse 20, "For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything." So here's what's basically happening, is that we are Christ's. We are Christ. We have been born again. We have trusted in Jesus. But there comes along something in our lives that gets us to doubt if we really are. I remember as a young kid, I must have doubted my salvation hundreds of times, definitely dozens, if not hundreds of times. And I remember, I don't know if you guys grew up in this concept where, the gospel was all boiled down to this prayer that you said. You say this prayer, and this prayer is what saves you. And we call it the sinner's prayer. And so this is the thing that saves you. And I think that's horribly just a bad concept there about the gospel. Because again, it has really no power to reassure you. And I'll prove that because when I was growing up, I said that prayer when I was like a five-year-old. And, I remember my parents writing a date in my Bible, and every now and then they would tell me about the experience I had of getting saved and would reassure me that I was a Christian. And yet I remember even like the story I shared at the beginning, I would remember sometimes lying in bed, scared some nights, wondering, what if I died? What if I died then? And what if Jesus came back tonight? Would I really be his? Would I really be going to heaven? Would he really know who I am? And so I used to get scared by that. And I used to do the only thing I knew to do. I used to say that prayer again. The sinner's prayer, the prayer that I was taught to say to get saved. I would say it again. And this time I would try to say it more heartfelt and more genuine. And I try to make sure the words were correct because I wanted that assurance. I wanted that reassurance from God that I was really his, that he really loved me. And yet 1 John in this passage here seems to say it comes from something else. It says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." And right before that, he says, "For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything." And so what I think that means is sometimes you doubt your salvation and you're not sure. I mean, that's the whole point of doubt. You're not sure if you're a Christian. And so you need someone to reassure you that you are. You need someone to come alongside of you and say, "Yes, Todd, you're a Christian. You're following Jesus. God loves you. You are on the right path." And sometimes our hearts let us down. And I think that's exactly what the passage is saying. "For whenever our heart condemns us." Has our heart ever condemned you? Have you ever tried to rely upon your heart for that assurance and your heart has let you down? For whatever's going on in your life, maybe it's a sin you shouldn't have been doing. Maybe you've been watching the wrong things or hanging around the wrong people. And you've had a rough patch. And you're trying to, rely upon your heart and what's real inside of you. And you're not getting much feedback. In fact, the feedback that you are getting isn't reassuring at all. You're questioning the very core of your salvation, of your justification before God. And it says in this passage, "Whenever your heart condemns you, God is greater than our heart and knows everything." Basically, what he's telling us is your heart isn't the good place to find reassurance. Your heart is a poor place to find assurance of God's love because your heart can waffle. Your heart can ebb and flow. Your heart can be great one day and poor the next. So if you're banking on your heart, you're going to get whatever feedback your heart gives you that night, whatever feeling is with you that moment. And I think what John is saying is you need to get your assurance from someone else, and that someone else is God himself. It says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything. So it honestly, it's a possibility that if you are doubting your salvation, it is a possibility that you're not really of Christ. It is a possibility that you're not really saved. And I think there have been instances like that all over creation, where people doubted their salvation, and that was actually a good thing because they weren't actually Christ's. But there's also times like that in numerous Christians' lives over and over again where we doubt our salvation and it's not true. And so what do you do with that? And it says in this passage, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything, which means he knows the facts. God is the one that knows if we're of Christ, if we're born again, if we're following Jesus, if we're on the right path, if we're headed to eternal life. And so this is what it says in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And remember what I said about the heart? It sometimes it can reassure you, and then sometimes it can tell you the very opposite. Sometimes when your heart condemns you, it's not the truth. And you actually are saved. You actually are the Lord's. And then sometimes when your heart tells you you're not saved, it's actually telling you the truth. So you need something different. You need something better to reassure you. And let's skip forward a little bit in this passage. This is what it says. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. Did you hear that? Do you hear where the reassurance comes from? The reassurance of our salvation and that the fact that God loves us does not come from our heart. It comes from the proof of our lifestyle. It comes when we obey the commandments of God. That's your assurance. That's your reassurance. Because when you obey God, that is the evidence that you are Christ's. Not the fact that you have a fuzzy feeling. Not the fact that you have a bad feeling. Excuse me. The fact that you are of Christ's comes down to this simple fact. You are obedient. Because here's what I'm basically trying to say. If you're not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, God has built this system, and I think it's a wonderful system, where when we're not obeying the Lord, our assurance of our salvation goes down. So when our obedience is low, our assurance is low as well. Now, and I think that's built by God. I think that's God made. Because here, work this out in your mind. If we were disobedient to God and we had high assurance, that wouldn't be right, right? We would just, that high assurance would just comfort us in our sin. And we'd allow, it would allow us to just stay in our sin. But what happens is when we're disobedient, that assurance, picture this like meter, that assurance goes down. Because that assurance is a safety net for you. When your assurance is high, you're hopeful, you're walking in peace, you're walking in security. But when that assurance is low, you're walking in insecurity. You're questioning the very core of your faith. And I think that's on purpose. I think God has built this system so that when you're disobedient, your heart lets you down. You go to your heart for assurance and you can't get it. You can't find it because you're walking in disobedience. You're seeing bad signs. You're seeing bad fruit in your life. And so your assurance is low. There's nothing there to reassure you. So God built this system for something to come alongside of you, to be your reassurance. And it's not your heart. Your heart can let you down. Your heart can tell you lies. In verse 23, it says, this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. When we are walking in love, when we are walking in obedience to God's commandments, God makes it so that our assurance of his love, our assurance of salvation, our assurance that we're on the path of Christ is sky high. Because that is the proof that we are walking correctly. Obedience. Obedience to Jesus. And consequently, when we're disobedient, when we're walking in error, when we're walking in something we should, when we're flirting with sin, when we're messing with just things that we know we're not supposed to be a part of, And I know this firsthand. When I was walking in sin and in seasons of sin, my assurance of salvation was horribly low. And I often questioned if I was Christ's. And so what actually got my assurance to be high again is when I woke up, spiritually speaking, and started following Christ once again. And as soon as I confessed my sin and repented of it and started walking in obedience again, my assurance went back up. God reassured me that you're mine. Why else would you obey me? Why else would you love me, Todd? Why else would you love your neighbor? Why else would you give up of your possessions and your time to go love someone else? It's because you're mine. It's because you were born of me. It's because I'm teaching you and I'm guiding you. And so my assurance was sky high. When I'm obeying the Lord, I am reassured that I'm Christ's. I'm reassured that I'm going the right way. And when I'm not, when I'm disobedient, and I'm following the pattern of this world, and I'm apathetic, and I'm lazy, and I'm wandering, and I'm covetous, my assurance is low. My heart is letting me down. Because again, God is the only one who knows. God is the only one who knows for certain of the reality of my heart and soul. And the system that he has worked out, it seems like, according to 1 John, is that when we obey the commandments of God, and really the one specific commandment that he brings up, is when we love others. And that's what it says in verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we believe, we have to believe for that assurance to be there. But there's another aspect to that. He says, and love one another just as he has commanded us. In verse 24, it says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So God gives us assurances. He reassures us by very specific things. And the biggest one is obedience. Obedience to Jesus' commandments. When you're looking into the Word, and honestly, that's another thing, is if you're reading the Word of God, God can reassure you with his own scripture. God can bring along a nice morsel of truth to reassure you. But another thing is when you're studying the scripture and he brings something along that you need to apply, and you do it, he reassures you. Your assurance of salvation is high, and that's on purpose. And if you're disobedient and your assurance is high, I don't think that's from God. If you're disobedient and you still are confident that you're a Christian, I mean, it's a possibility that you are a Christian because Christians have had seasons of sin. But if your assurance is high while you're walking in sin, excuse me, I don't think that's from God. I think that's from the devil. Because the devil wants to comfort you in your sin. And God, it's the very opposite. If you're disobeying God and walking in error, walking in dangerous error, he brings that assurance all the way to the bottom. Because that assurance is actually there. The lack of assurance, excuse me, is actually there to get you to run back to God. That Holy Spirit that he talks about, sometimes, you know, in my Christian life, when I'm not walking the way I should, I feel like he takes the ministry of the Holy Spirit away from me. And again, I don't have that assurance anymore. I don't have that ministry of the Holy Spirit. I don't have that comfort from God that I'm his. And he's doing that on purpose because he wants me to repent. He doesn't want me to stay in dangerous sin. Sin can kill you. The wages of sin is death. So when God removes the assurance from me for a time while I'm walking in sin, he's loving me because he wants me back. He wants me back with him. He wants me back listening to him. He wants me back obedient to him. And when I come back, when I obey, it's like how he starts the passage here. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything. God knows the facts. God is the one that can reassure us of our salvation. And the way that he's going to do it is when you're obedient. When you love people. So you know those instances when they come up? You ever had an opportunity where a chance comes up to love someone and you don't take it? And for whatever reason, you're busy, you're tired. You know, I wasn't thinking of other people at that moment. And there's an opportunity to love someone and you don't do it? Do you ever question your authenticity right then? I have. When there's been a wide open opportunity to love someone and I don't take it, I wonder why. Why didn't I take it? What was going on in my life? I mean, and it honestly goes so deep sometimes that I wonder, am I really of Christ? Because a Christian would take that opportunity. And what I'm not saying is every time that you sin, you lose your salvation. Because I don't believe that. But I do think that every time that you sin, your assurance takes a hit. And if you keep sinning, if you keep walking in sin, that assurance is going to come lower and lower and lower. And you're going to lose hope. You're going to lose peace. You're going to lose security. And that's on purpose. Because God does want you to have reassurance. He does want you to have assurance of his love. Excuse me. But he also wants you obedient. And so he's manufactured this awesome, God-glorifying system that when you're obedient, your assurance is high. And when you're disobedient, your assurance is low. So that when you're disobedient, if you're disobedient, you run back to God quickly, because that hopelessness, that lack of peace, that lack of security is so frightening that you run back to God. You confess your sins. You repent of your sins. You get back on the path of Christ. And as soon as you do that, your assurance starts going up again. Praise be to God for that. I don't know where you are in your Christian life at this moment. I don't know if you need this assurance right now. You might. You might be walking right now on a path of, maybe it's just drifting. Maybe you're just not as zealous as you once were. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe it's different. Maybe you're just so busy with school and the happenings of life that you've forgotten about God. You've misplaced your priorities. Whatever it is, maybe you're questioning if you're really Christ's, if you're really of him, if you're really born of him, if you're really going the right direction. And if that assurance is low, I think it's low on purpose. Because I think you need to go back to the source. Go back to the one who knows the facts. And if when you come back to God and you confess your sin to him, he'll reassure you once again. He'll reassure you. He'll pick you up, put you back on the path of Christ. You start walking in obedience again. And as soon as you do that, your assurance goes up. So two things. You know God wants to reassure you of his love. But God wants your obedience. He wants your commitment. He wants your faithfulness. He wants you living for the purpose you were intended to live, for his glory. So assurance and obedience are a team. When you obey, God reassures you that he loves you. And when you're not obeying, God allows you to go through a dark period. A period of wandering, a period of hopelessness, a period of insecurity. Not so that you feel insecure. He doesn't want that. That's not the goal. The goal is for you to come back home. Like the prodigal son. Remember that story? The prodigal son is so insecure when he finally comes to his senses that he doesn't even think his dad will accept him as a son. He thinks at best maybe he'll take me as a servant. He's so insecure. You know, he's been walking in sin and living a horrible lifestyle, and his assurance is rock bottom. He's thinking, man, if I go home, my dad's going to hate me. You know, he's not going to take me back as a son, but maybe, just maybe, he'll take me back as a servant. But as soon as the prodigal son repents, as soon as he makes his way back home, what does the dad do? The dad runs after the prodigal son, wraps his arm around him, embraces him so tightly, and throws this feast for him and assures him once again, my son has come home. And I want you to think about that tonight. Is your assurance low tonight? Do you need to be reassured by God that you're of Christ's? And maybe the fact is, if your assurance is low, and it's chronically low, that you might not be of Christ's. And if you go back to God, he'll be the one to sort that out. So go back to God and get back on the path of Christ, or go to God for the first time. God is the one that knows the facts. God is the one that knows our hearts. Take it to God. Confess your sin. Get back on the path of Christ. Walk in obedience. and God will reassure you every step of the way. And as soon as you slip, as soon as you fall, that meter will go down because he wants you healthy. He wants you walking the way he taught you to walk you. I need to quit because my voice is failing me. So I hope this was encouraging to you. May God bless us. May we always walk in obedience and love towards other people for Christ's sake, but also for our assurance sake. God bless.